Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Arizona Good Business Radio, featuring leaders in the Arizona business community working to build a lasting impact throughout our state through doing good business. I'm your host, Thomas Barr, Executive Director of Local First Arizona. We are a statewide organization advocating for and celebrating locally owned businesses, and we're the largest local business coalition in the country, providing resources to over 3,000 small businesses. We are really excited today to have a brand new partner that has joined Local First, I would say, within the last 6 or 7 months, and is really excited to be here today. I'm not sure, Tanya, is this your first podcast ever, maybe?
No, it's my second.
No. Second podcast ever. Okay. So I'd like to introduce the owner / president of Tanya Lucan CPA, none other than Tanya Lucan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
So we're really excited to dig in a little more to hear what this year has been like for you, what you do. So for those of you, for those that are listening that don't know you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your business?
So, like you said, the name of my business, it's super clever, Tanya Lucan CPA PC. So we provide accounting services to small local businesses. So the thing we like to say that we do differently is that we provide as much or as little help as clients would need, and we can supplement existing staff of theirs. But basically, it's kind of that accounting and bookkeeping function, but we take it to a different level. Using the new technology that's out there, we try to automate as much as we can. And then we spend our time analyzing information so we can kind of end that shoebox accounting where, you know, a lot of times business owners will come into my office and they'll have a box of receipts and they'll go here and then, you know, 15 days later, we give them financial statements. But as you well know, that small business is very dynamic, and having information that's 15 days old doesn't do any business owner any good. So
sure.
Like, analyze what happened yesterday so we can make changes today to get better results tomorrow.
Super cool. So how long have you been in the accounting field for then?
If I admit it, then you might know how old I am, but it's my business turned 20 in May of 2020.
Very cool. So you know the ins and outs of this industry then, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I would never say that I know everything, but I've definitely handled small business books and accounting for 20 years. So
yeah,
much is surprising anymore, but it is always, there's always new challenges. And every business, while they kind of have similar challenges, like cash flow, for example, like I don't know what business owner doesn't worry about cash flow at some point in their life. The way that you solve the problem for each business is slightly different. So,
sure. So how have you seen things adapt and change in how small businesses handle accounting, need accounting services, should be thinking about how they manage their books over the last 20 years? I imagine it's been vastly different, even in just the last 10 years.
So,
five.
So it's actually even just in like the, you know, 9 months or so since COVID started, there's been new technology out there that basically makes it so that you can do accounting virtually. So like I have clients that are outside of Arizona, but I have some clients that I've never actually met in real life because they are on the technology cusp too. So they're in the technology sector and they're okay with never coming to my office and meeting me and seeing my staff and sitting down at a big desk, you know, that kind of thing. So I would say that with, and especially with COVID and what's happened this year and everyone working remotely, it's really kind of so that people are getting on board with the new technology now, whereas they would have resisted a little bit, you know, like a couple months ago, for example, or last year even. So
Sure. I imagine there's still those old school businesses, though, that are like, I don't want anything to do with the technology or the bare minimum, right? I need to see you in person. Let me come to that big desk and sit on the other side of it. Do you still have any of those?
there's a few legacy clients that are like that. But I really like them as human beings, and they're fun to work with. So, but now I still don't let them come and sit at a desk in front of me, but we do, we have a lot of calls and a lot of remote sessions and a lot of screen sharing. So
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's something about that, just personal human connection in doing business with others that I think will never be lost, no matter how automated or how advanced I think our technology will be. I mean, I think the tools are fantastic. I mean, we even use them at Local First, you know, to a certain degree, but you need people, you need you, right, to dig in, answer questions, actually know what's going on.
Yeah. So for example, some of the new stuff that's out there, some of the new accounting technology, like they have, you know, QuickBooks Online or Xero or Bill.com or Expensify, things like that. Like these are apps that basically you put them on your phone, you take a picture of your receipt, and then using the artificial intelligence that's built into the software, it then basically like will OCR the receipt and start it for us. So there's way less data entry error because, you know, I mean, computers still make mistakes, but it's learning all the time from the corrections that we make. And so basically, instead of us typing the information from a receipt that you dropped off at in a shoebox, like we're looking at your receipt and saying, how come they bought this thing last week and it was $25 and they're buying it this week and it's $85? And then we can ask the client, like, why is this thing different? What happened here? Why did this change? Why is, you know, like your telephone bill $300 more than it was last month? You know, kind of expect certain things. And then that opens the door for us to spend our time talking to clients about what's happening in their books instead of spending our time typing information into a computer.
Sure. Your true gift that you would actually be giving them, right? Well, super interesting. So how are, do you have any examples? And obviously there's, if you need to leave out specific names of anyone, do you have any examples of businesses that have really like grown and embraced the advances of technology these days for their small businesses? Like, isn't there anybody doing it really well?
I'll tell you a little story. There was a bar that we work with, and we took them on as a client, and they were tiny. Like they had just opened, you know, maybe 4 months prior, and the build out had gone longer than it should have and cost more money than it should have. And so they were struggling with they had a huge cash flow problem. But this little bar was part of this larger restaurant group. And so what was happening is when the every week, all the managers from the restaurant group and the bar would drop their receipts off in the office. And the accounting team would go through all the receipts and record all the transactions. But because this little bar was kind of like, you know, the little side project or the side hustle, you know, it fell to the wayside. And it got done in the last minute, right before the payroll was due. So by the time they were entering transactions, it was already 12 days old. And yeah, so because they would drop it off on a Tuesday, for example, from the prior week. And then they wouldn't get to it till that following Friday. So by then, like, you know, and if you're trying to evaluate cash flow, like you also don't know what have they bought in the last 5 days? So you have no idea. So within an afternoon, I used two sets of software. So I moved them from a QuickBooks desktop version that was sitting on a remote server somewhere into QuickBooks Online. Then I got them Bill.com. to pay their invoices. So I converted the file, put it into those softwares. I gave the manager two apps, told him take a picture with the green one if you've paid for it, picture with the orange one if you haven't. And basically he started it the next day and I never needed to worry about recording transactions because I knew today what he bought yesterday or what vendors dropped off bills to be paid yesterday. And we can make decisions today to get better results tomorrow.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I've ventured into those situations where, you know, the numbers are not kept on spreadsheets, they're on notepads or, you know, and I imagine every situation is a little different with such a wide variety of small businesses out there. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it is. And there's common threads between all of them. But the thing that I like, So I don't know if you know this, but accounting is really boring. Like it's very, it's very boring. So I like that I can, you know, like a solution, for example, I was speaking to a client, the one that owns the restaurant group and the bar. I was talking to him the other day. He was talking about they had closed one of the restaurants in another location, and they had a bunch of stuff sitting in a warehouse. And I was like, well, somebody should inventory it, and da da da. And he was like, yeah, we have this plan, and you know, but because I work with HVAC contractors and that have to run inventory all the time, like I know good inventory methods. And I said, hey, just an FYI, restaurateur, like here's a really good way to handle inventory. And he's like, how did you know that? And like, and that's the part that I love, is because like, because I get to see all businesses across different industries, I have different ideas where I'm like, oh, that would work for that client. And oh, I love how they did that. And so then,
yeah,
it makes it really, that's the part I like about, I guess, about what I do, is that there's creative solutions.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's exciting. So, you know, obviously elephant in the room, it's the end of, or towards the end of 2020, we're, you know, hopefully going to make it out of this year, all okay. And it's been a wild year for everybody personally, in business, professionally, as a community. How have things been from your perspective in the accounting space? You know, I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of different businesses in payroll, in HR, in accounting, in, you know, business services has not hit a critical space, I guess you would say, in throughout the pandemic, of not having business, because, you know, we had the PPP program come through and the businesses all needed help with that. And, you know, if you got an emergency injury disaster loan, you need to be tracking that in a specific way. So how have things looked like from your perspective over the last eight months or so?
I expected something different than what happened to us. So I thought that clients would come to us and say, hey, can you just wait on doing our accounting until till this is over, because we can't afford it. But the exact opposite happened. So like, I guess as any good accountant, like I planned for the worst and hope for the best. So that, like, I implemented a plan that basically we were going to lose X percentages of our clients, but the exact opposite actually happened. So clients came to us and wanted us to help them more. So then we were able to help them, you know, reforecast and just help them figure out what costs they could cut that they were paying for. Like, for example, one of the things that all of my clients did is I went back to their insurance agents and I reduced, if they had layoffs, I reduced their workers' comp payroll estimate for the year, which lowered their monthly payments. And then I reduced their revenue estimates, which lowered their general liability insurance payments. So then we could save a little bit of cash now for all of those clients. So, and then we just started in on the vendors, you know, so like the payroll providers of the world, we called them all and we're like, hey, you bill us $100 every payroll. Can you do it for 85? So.
That's super cool. Yeah. I have a friend who, friend and member and partner of Local First, who I've gotten to know over the years. And he was on this show last year. I think he was actually one of our first guests. He was telling me, you know, when he started his business, the advice he got was two things. The first was, if you don't have to, don't borrow money. Mm-hmm. And number two, hire a really great accountant and you'll be okay.
You know, I hate to say it, but it's true, because like, if you, as business owners, most business owners I know didn't start a business to become an accountant. So like, it's just, right. You know, and they have some, especially my creative types, like they're just creative people, and like dealing with numbers gives them headaches, and I totally appreciate their pain, because when I have to do my own accounting, I'm like, this sucks. Like, I don't want to do this. But at the same time, like, if you have a goal, let's say that you want to, you know, open a second location in Flagstaff, for example. And if you want to be able to do that, like, what is it going to take for you to be able to do that for your business? You know, and then how are you going to be able to design an accounting system that can measure those targets or those KPIs to make sure that you get to what you want and that you can achieve your goals? So there's a real nuance and kind of like balancing act that has to happen with accounting, because you can't design an accounting system that's such a juggernaut that nobody wants to use it because it's cumbersome and it's clunky and it, you know, like it's a huge pain. Nobody wants to deal with it. So you have to design a system that gets you information in as real time as possible. Like accounting will never be real time. So for example, like today is the 4th and I need to send out my invoices for November. So like I'm the worst, but that's the, you know, so you're never going to get that kind of information as fast as you would think, because you have to wait for someone to send you a bill before you know. So.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Super interesting. So as we've been doing at Local First, you know, we've over the last 6, 7, 8 months tried to be really good predictors. What is going to be happening, not only in the next 4 to 6 weeks, but what's going to be happening in the next 3 months, 6 months, year, right? And, you know, nobody knows for sure, but you gather information, you gather research, you gather data, you look what's going on in other places. And, you know, for us, our quote unquote clients are our members. So we're looking out for, you know, 3,000 small businesses and trying to inform them and give them, you know, the best recommendations we can based off of expertise in the community about what to be planning for and doing. But, you know, your clients are your businesses, and I imagine you're in a similar position of needing to think ahead for them, be ready for them, plan for the worst for them. So from, I'm going to call you an expert accountant. From an expert accountant's perspective, what are we looking at? You know, let's say 2021, what should businesses really be thinking about and planning for? I mean, we're hearing maybe federal aid will come, maybe it won't, maybe it'll come by this time, maybe not. There's a lot of unknowns. So what are you thinking about? What are you telling your businesses right now?
So I do expect a second round of funding. And there's actually a bill that's working its way through Congress now that's like, they were talking about the skinny PPP loan that has since died, but now there's a different one that actually in theory should pass, looking at the calendar here, should pass next week, the 9th or 10th. Otherwise it'll get pushed to the 18th. So I'm thinking it'll pass. It'll have $288 billion of PPP money in it. So, wow. Which is a little less than half of what went out with the first CARES Act, with the first and second round of the PPP loan. There's going to be a revenue reduction requirement. So the revenue will have had to fallen off at least 25 to 35%, if not more. And there was no mention about what, like how that revenue fall off would be measured. So we don't know yet. So for anybody listening, like soon, gather all your paperwork that you gathered last time and you've had experienced a revenue reduction. But outside of that, some things that like, I remember when I was with my like accounting 101 course, when I was a freshman or sophomore in college, my teacher was sitting there and she said, I want you to pay attention because I'm going to give you the best piece of business advice. Like wherever you work, you're going to end up working for a business or like have your own business or whatever. And it's really important because there's only two ways to make money in business. Sell more or spend less, which, I mean, it's true if you think about it. So now, because so many of my clients, like we've been through all of their spending and we've evaluated like how important is this and how important is that. So I'm actually kind of excited because there's like my clients are spending less money, and granted they have less sales, but could you imagine what that client's life is going to be like when sales are restored to pre-COVID levels and they're still spending less money? Mm-hmm. So like they're going to become more profitable, and more profits means they can save more, plan better, hire more, expand, you know, I mean, like I'm excited for the possibilities that businesses will be leaner and more efficient, and they will operate with less to accomplish the same amount they did before.
Yeah. Wow. I haven't even thought of things like that yet. And if I think internally to the cuts in expenses, I mean, meals, travel, I mean, a lot of that stuff has been cut because everybody's working from home. And, you know, I know everybody's a little different. We're hearing about companies maybe not utilizing office space anymore, doing full-time remote work till 2022 or long term, always doing remote or kind of a hybrid model, mm-hmm. come into the office and pop in if you want to. I'm thinking that we're going to see a lot more. So this radio show today is hosted by one of our partners. The location is in MAC 6 in Tempe. They have a whole entire co-working space. I'm imagining that co-working spaces are going to become more common for businesses because it's a reduced level that you have to expend for, you know, all the amenities that you would get and the community aspect of working with other people rather than, you know, getting a mortgage or a rental on an office space. So yeah, I agree with you. And I hadn't even thought of that yet. The practices and the habits I think we're picking up, whether that's personally or professionally through COVID, I think are going to continue further as we come out of this. And hopefully they're all positive.
So. Yes. I just, you know, and my clients, like when they talk about it, when they, you know, like that's the thing. I'm like, could you imagine what would happen, you know, because we're cutting overhead costs, like for some companies outside of payroll, like we're cutting overhead costs by 30%. And like, imagine just adding 30% to your bottom line. Like that's so exciting what the possibilities could be. You know?
Yeah. So that's cool. So what school, what professor told you this amazing advice?
Her name was Laura Ilkeson, and she was she used to work for Union Pacific. She was an accountant for them for UP, and it was at the University of Nebraska Omaha, which is now.
Oh no way! Very yeah. cool.
I'm from the middle.
Right on. My sister-in-law is a Cornhusker and lives in Omaha right now. So I've been there once. I don't know if I'll go back, but. No dish. So I will confess, I was an accounting major for like 0.5 seconds before I even started college. And I was like, nah, I took a look at that coursework and took another route. So,
you know, it's funny. I started as a horticulture major.
Oh, no way.
Mm-hmm. But plants come near me to die.
I see the blossoming plant in the background there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually was a snowbird this summer and I spent the summer in Oregon and I left that plant with my friend, which is why it looks so healthy still. But I have to tell you, I picked it up from her. We went to breakfast and then I promptly forgot it in my car for a day. And it sat outside in like the 100-degree heat for a day.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Like, thank goodness I don't have children.
As we get a little close here to wrapping up the show, we had checked in the other day and you sent me a note about Chuck Norris. And I'm going to be completely honest, never seen a Chuck Norris movie. Don't get the joke. Well, I guess I kind of get the jokes because I actually used to watch Conan O'Brien and he would always do these hilarious, like I thought they were hilarious Chuck Norris like jokes. He would always like do this like flash of Chuck Norris and I never knew what it went, but I thought it was hilarious. So you said to me, ask me what's my favorite Chuck Norris joke and why we aren't your typical accountants. So let's hear it.
My favorite Chuck Norris joke is that Chuck Norris can divide by zero. Only because it's accounting humor too. It has math in it. So no, we just, I don't know where this, I actually remember where I was in Chicago on vacation and I was at a gift shop and my friends were looking around at something and I started reading this Chuck Norris joke and I was just roaring with laughter. And like, we're walking down the streets in Chicago and I'm like trying to like read these jokes to my friends and it was just, I don't know. It was truly a magical time. And since then I've been addicted to Chuck Norris jokes. So I find them hilarious, like just the juxtaposition of like, you know, Chuck Norris is just such a badass. So the thing that I think makes us a little different as a firm is that one, we're willing to embrace those technologies, but two, I feel like we, you know, collectively as a team, I feel like we can take accounting concepts and accounting frustrations that business owners have, and we can like relay them and the information that they need in a way that's understandable. So I think we're relatable as people. And I think we have a way of explaining complicated accounting situations to people in a way that they understand. So
very cool. Very well said. Well, Tanya, it was an absolute pleasure to have this conversation today. Again, first time, those listening, we are on Zoom for the first time. We've only had phone conversations before. hopefully as we venture out of this crazy, disastrous year, we'll be able to see each other in person in 2021. But thank you so much for being here today. If people want to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
LucasCPA.com.
Love it. Brand new website too. I checked it out. It looks fantastic.
So the best part is if you go to the about page and you hover over my picture, there's a surprise.
Is it Chuck Norris?
But there are Chuck Norris jokes on the bottom of every page.
Oh, there we go. I knew it. I knew I saw Chuck Norris somewhere.
And it's randomized, so it'll change all the time. So
love it. There you go. Technology and personalization all in one. Yeah. Cool. Well, for those listening, we hope you were inspired today listening to a leader here in Arizona working to leave a better legacy in our state through doing good business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Phoenix Business Radio X, for hosting us, and all of our legacy partners at Local First Arizona, including Tanya Lucan, CPA. This is Thomas Barr from Local First Arizona, reminding you that if we want to build a better state, we need to connect deeply with the local businesses that make us proud to call this place our home.